Just sit right back and you'll hear a tale, of a fateful trip.
In the year 1831, biologist Charles Darwin began a fateful journey on the HMS Beagle. On that journey, Darwin formulated the controversial theory of evolution, which has impacted society down to this day.
Our goal is to punch holes in that theory, so we'd like to welcome you to
Sink the Beagle.
Fire one, Captain!
Way to go, Stan. Nice shot.
Well, thank you, John. I appreciate that. We'd like to send the HMS Beagle down to the watery depths. I'm Stan Hudson.
And I'm John Kurlinski. Welcome you to another fun-filled episode of
Sink the Beagle,
where we take lighthearted looks at the serious issues of evolution and creation. Lighthearted, because it's the best way. And you know what, Stan? We heard that explosion go off and that beagle go glub, glub, glub. Speaking of explosions today, we want to just tell you just how effective explosions can be in this world.
You mean that explosion may not have been the boat itself, but what was around the boat or underneath the boat?
Maybe it was something that was around the boat or underneath it in the mud of a turbidite.
Today.
It's a unique fossil find.
It is a unique fossil find, and what we are referring to today on Sink the Beagle is, we know we're going to get a few what's when we tell you we'd like to talk today about exploding fish heads.
Yes, that is not the name of a new rock band, new punk rock band. Though they have Smashing Pumpkins. I think Exploding Fish Heads is just the next name. It's just a matter of time.
Well, maybe that'd be good for a creationist rock group if there is such a thing out there. Fellas, if you're looking for a name, we will let you use that without fee. There you go.
Exploding Fish Heads.
There you go.
And when people ask you what's the name all about in your creationist group, all you have to say is, it happened before. And then they can say where. What we're talking about is actually fossil formation that occurs in the west central part of the United States, in the Wyoming, Utah, Colorado, the Green River Formation, a very famous place where you can find bazillions of fish, so to speak.
Yes, and we've talked about the Green River Formation before on Sink the Beagle. And if you ever go to a rock shop, a fossil shop, and you say, you know, I'd sure like to buy a fossilized fish impression, you know, just one of those neat-looking things you can hang on the wall in a picture frame where it has a fossilized fish. Well, nine times out of ten, it is going to be from the Green River Formation. This, what we're talking about today, is that same place.
A sedimentary layer loaded with dead fish.
Loaded with millions and millions and millions of fish. And it looks like
hundreds of square miles.
Hundreds of square miles, and they're beautifully preserved, and sometimes they are found in a very interesting way.
I've seen fish from that formation, Stanley, you commented not too long ago on Sink the Beagle, in mid-bite.
In mid-bite, okay.
But even what's more funny is that maybe he was biting on a firecracker.
Well, what we are talking about is that some of the fish that have been found there, if they look very carefully at it, it honestly looks like that the poor fish somehow or other exploded, and I don't know if it was on impact or a mine or what are we talking about here?
Terrorist fish? Trying to take another school of fish? We don't know.
No, we actually, scientists have looked at this, and they have come up with some ideas, but apparently they find these scales and so forth, evidences of parts of the fish head, I hate to do this very graphically, but what else can you do? Basically splattered in this mudded area. And it looks like something literally blew the head, especially the head part, apart sometime during the fossilization process.
Well, and what they've discovered, Stan, from what I understand, is that, well, we can talk about the fossilization process itself, but what they've discovered is apparently some gases build up. Somewhere inside the head of the fish, near the brain or whatever, they have a swim bladder, and somehow the water.
Well, the bacteria was left in this fish, and when it died, it somehow or other the bacteria produced gas in these tubes, and of course it did lead to the head section, and somehow it expanded and just basically kind of popped.
And maybe the bottom section was sealed, or anal opening or whatever was closed off, or the gas went one way instead of the other.
Okay.
Kind of blew their brains out, basically.
And basically did this. Now, but the thing is, and this is what's interesting for creationists,
and for Sink the Beagle.
And for Sink the Beagle, is that the kinds of activities we just described would have to be have to happen rather quickly.
Yes.
And generally speaking, when fish die, they fall to the bottom of the lake or the river or the ocean or wherever, and they fall apart.
They don't stink because when they're underneath the water, they don't smell.
That's right. And they, you know, various organisms start to decay the fish. And the only way that we would have something like a fossil impression would be for there to be a lot of mud and other situations.
And bury it quickly.
Bury it and preserve the fossil quickly. And, of course, we have on Sink the Beagle have always promoted the possible explanation as the
flood
that would produce not just water, but lots of mud and sediment.
And they have done studies because fish, of all creatures that die, people say, well, don't dead fish float or something? No, actually most of them sink when they do kind of like what they call bloat and float studies.
Yeah.
Fish mostly sink. It's the rare fish that floats because of the bacterial gases that would cause the fish to float up, belly up on the bottom, so to speak, in your goldfish bowl or your thing. But most often fish sink, and the scavengers quickly do them in. And if it isn't the scavenger that do them in a very short period of time, they rot and disarticulate very quickly.
Yes.
And but these here are preserved, so you need massive barrier at a very rapid pace while the bacteria is still producing the gases to get the explosion to go off. So it has to be buried, exploded in sediment.
Yeah, while it's covered up, basically.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And you know, again, when we talk about an area the size of practically three states, a single deposit, you begin to wonder what kind of event could kill so many fish over such a huge, you know, several hundred miles, square miles of area. What could kill that many fish and cover them up quickly enough to preserve them beautifully? I mean, we're not talking about a little local flood, a gully washer. We're not talking about, you know, overflowing the banks or even a typical lake, you know, kind of suddenly going bad with ash or something from a volcano.
This is a
huge area and with a lot of fish. So anyway, again, on Sink the Beagle, we think that there's scientific evidence for the flood.
Flood. But, Stan, we didn't want to just leave the listener today with just a bunch of exploding fish heads.
Well, why not? Isn't that a beautiful program in and of itself?
Well, I think we need to add a little more to it.
Okay. Can you add to exploding fish heads?
That would actually help round it out. The Darwin Award.
Our annual
Darwin Awards.
We have occasionally brought up the lovely subject of Darwin Awards, and incidentally, there is such a thing, or at least a purportedly such a thing. And what is a Darwin Award, John?
Well, a Darwin Award, since Darwin talks about evolution and the best way to evolve is to eliminate the bad, the weak of the species and bring out the best of the species. And the Darwin Awards are given to those who are on the fastest track to eliminating bad genes.
Humans, from
the human race. And I guess we could have – we even have a torpedo text that we'd like to kind of share as we go down the list of Darwin Awards to emphasize – biblical wisdom and truth versus the stupidity of man who seem to at least on this level to a degree live apart from God in some of their activities anyway, or at least in their fumbles and foibles of life.
So
our text today is found in the book of Proverbs.
Proverbs, that book of wise sayings. What does it say in Proverbs 12:15?
The first part of the verse says, the way of the foolish seem right to him.
The way of the foolish
seems right to him.
Okay.
The way of the fool seems right.
Okay.
And so I guess we can quote that after we go through these. An example.
Okay.
Here we go.
Give us an example Darwin Award.
Let's start from the lesser to the greater.
Okay.
So we'll start with the number 9 Darwin Award. Or actually, there's one called the 5-Star Stupidity Award winner, but we'll go to the number 9 Darwin Award first. The Ann Arbor News crime column reported that a man walked into a Burger King in Ypsilanti, Michigan at about 5 a.m., flashed a gun, and demanded cash. The clerk turned him down because he said he couldn't open the cash drawer without a food order. When the man ordered onion rings, the clerk said that they weren't available for breakfast. The man, frustrated, walked away. The way of the fool seems right to him.
Okay. How about this one? Number 8. As a female shopper exited a New York convenience store, a man grabbed her purse and ran. The clerk called 911 immediately, and the woman was able to give them a detailed description of the snatcher. Within minutes, the police apprehended the snatcher. They put him in the car, drove him back to the store, and the thief was then taken out of the car and told to stand there for a positive idea, to which he replied, "Yes, officer, that's her. That's the lady I stole the purse from." The way of a fool seems right in his own eyes.
Seems an Arkansas guy wanted some beer pretty badly. He decided he'd just throw a cinder block through a liquor store window, grab some booze, and run. So he lifted up the cinder block, heaved it over his head at the window. The cinder block bounced back, hit the would-be thief in the head, knocking him unconscious. The liquor store window was made of plexiglass. The whole event was caught on videotape.
That would be entertaining.
The way of the fool seems right to him.
A man walked into a Louisiana Circle K, put a $20 bill on the counter, and asked for change. When the clerk opened the cash drawer, the man pulled a gun and asked for all the cash in the register, which the clerk promptly provided. The man took the cash and fled, leaving the $20 bill on the counter. The total amount of cash he got, $15. Hey, if someone points a gun at you and gives you money, is a crime committed? The way of the fool seems right in his own eyes. Why don't you skip to one of the really good ones?
One of the really good ones?
Yeah, the top of the list.
Okay. When a .38 caliber revolver failed to fire as an intended victim during a holdup in Long Beach, California, would-be robber James Elliott did something that only can inspire wonder. He peered down the barrel and tried the trigger again. This time it worked. The way of the fool seems right to him.
And that in particular case, that man did remove some potentially damaging genes from the human gene pool. This is pretty good too, though.
This is a stupidity award.
Okay.
When the man attempted to siphon gasoline from a motorhome parked at a Seattle street, he got much more than he bargained for. The police arrived at the scene to find a very sick man curled up next to the motorhome near spilled sewage. The policeman said the man had attempted to steal gasoline, plugged his siphon hose into the motorhome sewage tank by mistake. The owner of the vehicle declined to press charges, saying that it was the best laugh he ever had. The way of the fool seems right to him. You know, the reality is that God tells us that we should be people of wisdom, people that love righteousness, goodness, truth, justice, honor. You know, he doesn't want us to be a bunch of stupid exploding fish heads for brains, you know. We have more brains than these don't have much more brains than an exploded fish head, Stan. That's how you combine two eclectic ideas.
How in the world do you put exploding fish heads
on Sink the Beagle?
You are not going to hear this anywhere else, that's for sure. No one else has this. Because the way of the fool seems right to us. Oh, my goodness. Well, as you haven't figured out by now on Sink the Beagle, we do like to use humor to make points because we really do feel that some of the issues of creationism and evolutionism has a wide road of laughs, shall we say, perhaps even on both sides of the fence, although what side we are on and from which side we lob grenades over. No, shoot torpedoes over is what we tend to do. Sink the Beagle. But anyway, the evidence for exploding fish suggests rapid burial, and we like to put that out as a support for the flood actually happening.
Yeah, and the Darwin Award.
And what are you going to say about that, intelligent John?
The Darwin Award points out that a life lived under the principles of God versus the stupidity of humanity apart from God is a good life. You know, if you follow the wisdom of God, you know, that's actually what the Bible says in Proverbs in many places, 1:7 and other places. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, the beginning of wisdom.
And that
can save you from a lot of laughs that are stupid, you know.
And if I can even add this one, it says the fool says in his heart that there is no God.
And some of them tend to prove it, at least for their own life.
They tend to show.
So we hope that you've had a few laughs today, and you'll tune in again real soon for another
Sink the Beagle.
Thanks for listening to Sink the Beagle. We'd like to send you a special gift just for being with us today. Write to our email address, beagle@lifetalk.net, and ask for your free copy of Dr. Dwight Nelson's book called Built to Last, A Thoughtful Look at Creation and Evolution. Ask for Built to Last when you write to beagle@lifetalk.net. And be sure to listen in next time to another episode of Sink the Beagle.
So join us here each week, my friend. You're sure to get a smile from seven stranded castaways here on Gilligan's Isle.